It is vitally important to fully understand that Hurricane Helene was a product of highly advanced weather modification technology that is being used to further the protocols of Zion and the Great Reset of world nations. The reset agenda includes removing populations from the suburbs into the cities, so that those who will remain after the coming collapse of the socioeconomic and financial orders will be easy to control by way of the biblical mark of the beast, which will be enforced by the second beast as prophesied in Revelation 13:11-18. The mark of the beast cannot and will not be enforced upon mankind until the appearing of the false Christ. This video will examine the recent devastation in the wake of Hurricane Helene and the response from the U.S. government to reach those caught up in the aftermath, which has been nothing short of criminal. In fact, their lack of response exposes a cruel and deliberate attempt to cause as many deaths and as much suffering as possible. What you will see in the following video clips reminds me of FEMA's delayed response after the devastation of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Back then, Europeans watched in utter amazement as the U.S. government prevented life-saving equipment, food, and rations from reaching the sick and wounded, as well as starving children. This genocidal blockade continued for more than 7 days as people lay dying in streets with no shelter from the tormenting daytime heat and bitter cold nights, in full view of news channel helicopters. But we must keep in mind that this is exactly the kind of response that we could expect from a corrupt U.S. government that is controlled by a foreign state with an agenda to depopulate not just America but the entire world before 2030. And highly advanced weather modification technology is being used to devastate and destroy entire communities under the false terminology of climate change. The despicable and deliberate delay in the disaster relief response is a classic byproduct of the Marxist-Leninist mindset. The people and organizations responsible for this cruel behavior are clearly operating in accordance with the World Economic Forum's Great Reset agenda, whereby the more chaos, suffering, and devastation, the better.
Good evening and welcome. These are desperate hours in the storm zone tonight. Now, 4 days after making landfall in Florida, the aftermath of Hurricane Helene still inflicting maximum pain on communities in North Carolina and Tennessee. Many still cut off from power, running water, and communications. The death toll still rising. By an NBC News count, 121 people are now confirmed dead as a grim search is carried out for the many still unaccounted for. Much of the destruction centered on the city of Asheville. A Charlotte councilman volunteering in the Lake Lure Chimney Rock area posting these horrific images, what he can only describe as a post-apocalyptic landscape. So much left unrecognizable after the region was pummeled by floods, washing homes and neighborhoods away. Families short of so many things and beginning to grow short on patience, too. George Solis is in North Carolina for us tonight. George, how is the recovery going?
Lester, recovery efforts are ongoing, certainly not making things any easier. The rain officials telling us they have received thousands of calls, but they prioritized 150 trying to get to those people that are elderly and medically dependent. Tonight, Hurricane Helene has moved on, but left in its wake a trail of death and destruction. Officials in North Carolina say they were blinded by Helene's sheer intensity. Homes swept away, restaurants and shops torn to pieces. Communities cut off from clean water and electricity, leaving residents nowhere to go.
Shelters are at capacity. Those shelters only provide overnight lodging, food, and water. FEMA is not at these locations. This is basic necessities only.
Asheville, among the hardest hit, tonight remains largely cut off from relief, frustrating residents.
Nobody's going to help us. I don't know what we're going to do.
Do you have any faith in the federal response here?
No.
Ricky and Devonna Brown's auto shop has been in this location for 30 years.
This is hard to come and look at. You know what I mean? This is your whole life right here. And this old building to somebody, but to us, this is our life.
Drop-off of communication has left relatives of missing locals pleading with officials for information on their loved ones.
What do you say to the residents who feel that the local and federal response wasn't fast enough following this storm?
So, first, people are working around the clock. What we want to tell people is that more help is on the way and help is continuing.
In North Carolina, every single county has been impacted. The western part of the state by catastrophic flooding, the eastern half by heavy rains and tornadoes.
Do you have the manpower right now to handle this response?
So this is a multi-federal agency response, which is why we're bringing in people from across the federal government.
FEMA says they'll deploy 1,200 first responders to the state to support relief efforts. Relief that can't come soon enough for towns like Boone, 2 hours north of Asheville, where mudslides ripped through neighborhoods. 100 miles south, the river in Henderson County reached 30 feet.
Oh my God.
Smashing all previous flood records. Rivers and lakes jam with debris. Back in Asheville, residents don't know where to even begin.
It's a lot of work. Destroyed a lot of things. Things that I loved, of course. And my business and my job and my livelihood and all that. So, you know, I don't know.
And George, what is the status of the communications right now in Asheville?
Lester, conditions are only slowly starting to improve. There is better service here. And word tonight from the White House that the president will be in North Carolina on Wednesday. Lester.
All right, George Solis, thank you. In neighboring Tennessee, an agonizing wait for so many who have yet to hear from missing loved ones, and harrowing stories of those who made it to safety and those who did not. Priscilla Thompson is there. Priscilla, what challenges are crews facing now in this search effort?
Well, Lester, the challenge here is massive debris piles like this one as the search for the missing intensifies.
Tonight, the floodwaters in Tennessee have receded. But the pain is still flowing for some families.
They are just desperate to find out where she is, where if she's been found. They just want news.
Rosa Andrade and Monica Hernandez Corona are among the 150 people still unaccounted for in Tennessee, officials say, after 3 agonizing days. Authorities say more than 100 responders are scouring debris as today efforts shifted from rescues to recovery. They confirm only 3 storm-related deaths in the state so far.
They used everything they had to save life that day. Some were saved. We're still searching for some. We all have hopes that we will find some more alive.
Relatives say Rosa and Monica were working at Impact Plastics Factory when the water began to rise and that they got into the back of a semi-truck trying to escape. A man who says he was also on that truck posted this video online showing water rushing by as cars and yellow pipes floated away.
Their family members were in the back of an 18-wheeler holding onto pipes, calling 911 for help, and that help didn't come.
In a statement, Impact Plastics says when the parking lot and service road began to flood, employees were dismissed, but that some remained, boarding a neighboring company's truck as the flooding intensified. That truck tipped over, Impact Plastic says. 5 people were rescued by helicopter, but 6 others were never found. We are devastated by the tragic loss of great employees, the company wrote. Loss made all the more painful by the wait for answers.
They are really grieving, and all that they really want is closure. They just want closure for their families.
Priscilla Thompson, NBC News, Irwin, Tennessee.
This disaster is already having an impact on the presidential campaign, with former President Trump on the ground in the storm zone in Georgia, while Vice President Harris just spoke at FEMA headquarters in Washington. Garrett Hake now has that part of the story for us.
Tonight, former President Trump visiting the storm zone in Valdosta, Georgia, coming with Franklin Graham's aid group, bringing trucks loaded with supplies and fuel.
We're here today to stand in complete solidarity with the people of Georgia.
And hammering Vice President Harris for not being there herself.
Of course, the vice president, she's out someplace campaigning, looking for money.
The quality of the federal storm response could have a major political impact on the vice president, who's hoping to repeat President Biden's narrow 2020 Georgia win. Harris was briefed aboard Air Force 2, cutting campaigning short in Las Vegas to return to Washington, meeting with FEMA officials tonight.
We will do everything in our power to help communities respond and recover. I plan to be on the ground as soon as possible, but as soon as possible without disrupting any emergency response operations.
Trump also accusing the White House and Democratic governor in hard-hit North Carolina of, quote, going out of their way to not help people in Republican areas without providing evidence.
I want to address Trump's criticism of the Biden and Harris administration's response and handling of the Hurricane Helene aftermath. Here's what Trump said.
We're here today to stand in complete solidarity with the people of Georgia.
And hammering Vice President Harris for not being there herself.
Of course, the vice president, she's out someplace campaigning, looking for money.
Now let's take a look at Trump's handling of Hurricane Fiona, so that I can show just what a diabolical hypocrite Donald Trump really is.
The mayor of Puerto Rico's capital city is blasting the federal response to the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. Maria crippled the island when it made landfall 10 days ago. Most of Puerto Rico's 3.4 million residents are without power. Half are without running water. On Friday, San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz accused the Trump administration of inefficiency in delivering aid to the island.
Amid fierce condemnation, he's taken too long and done too little. Donald Trump landed in Puerto Rico today to gauge hurricane recovery efforts for himself. Not everyone welcomed the president, some turning his own words against him. And among the local officials Trump met, the mayor of San Juan, earlier labeled an ingrate by Trump when she criticized U.S. aid efforts.
Are you? It's not about politics.
Thank you. 2 weeks after Maria, and the recovery is progressing, but many Puerto Ricans are angry at the pace of it. 95% of the country is still without electricity, and there are shortages of almost every necessity.
We are being treated as a second-class citizens. Yes, or maybe third.
Flashlights, you don't need them anymore.
And later, at an ad hoc supply depot, while handing out rice, flashlights, and tossing rolls of paper towel to whoever could catch him, Trump called Puerto Rico's recovery nothing short of a miracle. The U.S. response to Katrina in 2005 brought steep criticism for then-President George W. Bush, not least for this seemingly distant flyover. Some have called Maria Trump's Katrina.
It's plain to see, then, that there's absolutely no difference between successive U.S. presidential administrations in the callous disregard for the deaths and suffering of hurricane disaster victims, and that Trump is a full-blown hypocrite in his scripted criticism of Harris and the Biden administration's response to Hurricane Helene. Remember that both the Democrats and Republican parties are financed and controlled by Zionist billionaires operating under the protocols of Zion, Greater Israel Project, also known as the Great Reset, and the biblical Great Tribulation of Nations. Therefore, both the Trump and Biden administrations' lackluster responses to the devastation caused by these superstorm hurricanes is also in keeping with the Talmudic, atheistic Jews, Marxist-Leninist takeover of nations. This lack of empathy toward helping disaster survivors by the U.S. government operates within both political parties and not just the Democrats. I showed in a previous video that the Republican and Democrat parties are in fact proxies for the Bolshevik takeover and overthrow of America. If both political parties in any country are funded by foreign billionaires, they will also be accountable to those same people and not to those deceived Americans who mistakenly believe they voted into power. If we compare Trump's response to the Puerto Rico hurricane, we can see that Trump was just as guilty in his administration's handling of Hurricane Maria. And that's because this vile response is undoubtedly Talmudic protocol. If those hurricanes had have happened in Israel, you can be assured that the response and relief effort would have been immediate and swift. The severity of the storm and its unusual trajectory tore through North Carolina, that has one of the richest ore deposits of lithium throughout the world. This state also contains a mine with the world's highest purity quartz deposits, which are used for the construction of AI chips and microchips, etc. It has just been discovered that a company called Piedmont Lithium is awaiting a state mining permit to increase the size of their current operation. The project was awaiting zoning approval due to a backlash from local residents, whose homes and livelihoods have now been completely destroyed by a superstorm that just happened to strike that very area. It has also been discovered in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, that Ciblico were seeking to expand their quartz mine and were also facing a backlash from local residents whose properties have also been wiped off the face of the earth. It's highly obvious that Superstorm Helene has greatly benefited these two organizations that were experiencing difficulties with the local population and therefore resorted to employing highly advanced weather modification technology in order to solve their problem.
This flooding in North Carolina does not sit well with me. I think something's going on. So I decided to do some digging. So the first thing I find out is North Carolina has the richest deposits of lithium in the entire world. Yeah, lithium for like cars, batteries, all that. Then I find out they have the world's highest purity quartz deposits. And that quartz just so happens to be the world's supply for AI chips, microchips, and all kinds of stuff. We're talking a $530 billion industry. So this is where it gets interesting. So a company by the name of Piedmont Lithium is awaiting a state mining permit for a site in northern Gaston County. And Gaston County is completely flooded right now. The project was awaiting zoning approval because they were getting backlash from the residents and also city officials. And this lithium mine they want would be the third largest producer of lithium in the world. And they made a deal with Tesla already. Now remember the quartz? So in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, right next to Ashland, they are wanting to expand their mines even larger. And the residents aren't having it either. Enter the floods. People, these are mountain towns. It rarely, if not ever, floods in the mountains. I would know, I grew up in the mountains in Colorado, which means none of these people have flood insurance. I mean, the media is saying biblical devastation in North Carolina, aka like the worst thing that could happen, and you're not coming back from it. Read between the lines, people. Everything happens for a reason.
So I just left the airport. We picked up a flight of pediatric medical supplies that were brought in and are going to North Asheville. We were sitting in the private portion of the airport and we got to overhear an awful lot. The Army pilots, the Navy pilots, hospital representatives, there was a lot of chatter. While we were there, a private jet landed and four FEMA representatives got off. Four people off of a private jet. Come to find out, and you're not going to hear this, so let me tell you. Come to find out, Mission Hospital was told, a private hospital, that they are going to go ahead and be the morgue center for body recovery. All of the Army Chinook helicopters you're seeing flying overhead, they are doing body recovery. FEMA said, and you can take this as a direct quote, said that they are too tied up at the border to send any more representatives. Yeah, at the border. So anyhow, I guess border control trumps whatever's going on here. So they told Mission Hospital they are not sending refrigerated trucks so that they can stack the bodies up. And we also overheard that whatever fatality numbers you are hearing, and this is a quote, go ahead and add a couple of zeros. So FEMA's too busy with the border. A private hospital and the Army are going to take over body recovery. And private individuals with their private helicopters and their private planes are the ones who are flying in supplies. I was at Hangar 10. I was picking up supplies. There was a stack for the Cajun Navy. There was a stack that looked like it was ASPCA. These are all being sent by private individuals. FEMA is doing nothing. Go ahead and share that.
I really don't want to make this video, but it is literally a matter of life and death for the people of North Carolina. So my name is Jonathan Howard. I'm a member of the Florida State Guard Special Missions Unit. And I'm also up here with Aerial Recovery, a nonprofit. I came up here on Sunday with Aerial Recovery before we even got activated. We flew up here and then we got activated, which was great. I have my team up here working as well. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you everything that's happening from the ground what I'm actually seeing, because what they're telling you is complete bullshit on the news, and these politicians don't have a fucking clue and they're lying. Now, I'll say this now, I'll say it at the end of the video. The only thing I need from this video is helicopters. If I have helicopters, I can save lives. Without helicopters, I can't reach these people. It doesn't matter how many chainsaws and trucks I got, I can't get to them. They're 10 miles in, 20 miles, 40 miles in the mountains. There's no way to get with them or even communicate with them. I am literally flying around in a civilian helicopter looking for SOS messages carved in the mud or painted on the ground, and we're dropping down and saving them. What got me fired up about this was yesterday, me and my team did the rescue of that 11-day-year-old baby. And all these government officials and social media, they're showing that video, that pictures and video of that rescue, and claiming that like they have some like government helped with that. And I mean, even USAA, I think it was USAA Today, wrote an article about it saying it was a Florida National Guard that went and got it, like with a helicopter. No, it was me, my buddy Charlie, and a civilian named Zeb with his own personal helicopter out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Like, without that civilian, that baby would be dead. And the old lady we went and rescued after that, she'd be dead too, because she had one day left of oxygen. No one was going to go get them. I will tell you, when we go up in the air, I might see two Black Hawks, National Guard, military, whatever they are. That's it. No one's out there doing rescues. I have my entire team up here from Florida right now, and they have no ability to go rescue these people other than what they can drive to. And the people that are in dire need, they're out in the mountains. They are completely cut off. Now, I will say, I spoke to my congresswoman down in Florida, and she's a badass, and she made a bunch of phone calls, and now we got two contracted 60s coming up here tomorrow, which is great. I love that, but like, I still don't understand why we don't have more helicopters. Like, we'll get a lot of work done with that, but there's no military. No one's doing nothing. It blows my mind. And they're not even allowing people to see what's really going on. One of our friends yesterday, they were actually escorting CNN down at Lake Lure, and they wouldn't even let CNN. The sheriff department would not let them go videotape the bad areas, how destructive it is. I don't know why they don't want to show you all that, but I mean, it is bad. I should also say, when I flew here on Sunday, they actually stopped us from going in, the sheriff department. And it was because of a bunch of politics that they were claiming was a speaker of the House of North Carolina that was preventing us from even going in and trying to kick us out, which I have clarified today with North Carolina politicians that reached out to me, good on them, and they were like, that's complete bullshit. Speaker of the House has nothing. He wants you guys there. But this is the kind of political BS that is happening here right now. Like, everyone's trying to be in charge without taking any type of action. Nobody wants to coordinate with anybody. Everybody wants to pretend like they're being the hero while these people are literally fucking dying in the mountains. And these people, like I'm saying, these people are limited medication. They're running out of oxygen, and there's no one going to get them. The most effective way I have found to go find these people is by getting in a helicopter and flying down the rivers and roads and looking for SOS messages or people waving us down. And then we drop down and get them. We have all these people here. We have law enforcement. We have State Guard, National Guard. They have no way to go get these people. Yesterday, when I was at the Asheville Airport refueling, which, by the way, the civilian is paying all this out of his own pocket. He's not even looking for a reimbursement. I think we did 4 refuelings yesterday. And that was like just in half a day's work. We're in Asheville, and I saw 2 Air Force Helicopter 60s. And I knew they were PJs just looking at them. And I went up to them like, hey, guys, like, what are y'all doing? And like, this is what you need to be doing. This is how I'm finding people. And they're like, we can't go. We're waiting on Title 10 orders. And I'm like, what? They can't get any authority. There's military helicopters all over here sitting on the ground, and they can't do nothing. Even my JSOC boys in Fayetteville, they can't get orders to come out here. It is just the most disgusting thing, and they're killing these people. And I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what kind of conspiracy. I've heard so many things, whatever you want to come up with, but they are literally allowing these people to fucking die in the mountains right now because we can't get helicopters. They got money for everything else in the fucking world right now, but if they could just get us helicopters, we could fly out there and rescue these people. So I hope this video goes viral. I hope these politicians get fired. I hope people get pissed off. They'll probably kick me out of the state of North Carolina for doing this, but you know what? I don't care, because if I can save one more life for it, it's fucking worth it to me.
So I'm at the Newdale Fire Department, Here is what supplies they have so far. Absolutely nothing from the government. This is all volunteers, just personal donations. So this is where your money on the GoFundMe is going. But yeah, the government is not helping. This is just local people banding together and bringing supplies.
Do Americans need permission from the government to help other Americans in need? What's going down is very strange, and a lot of this is going to get memory-holed, and we're going to forget about it, okay? But I want to document this. This is what's happening right now.
Just blast these people, volunteers. No help, no one else. We just get volunteers bringing in water and supplies.
This is awesome. Yeah, this is all personal donations. This is not government. This is people just doing this out of the kindness of their heart. So, some volunteers donated some supplies, but I mean, this is all being unloaded by hand. There's not equipment to even unload pallets. So, but this is amazing. We greatly appreciate all your help. Yeah, here's some supplies that are rolling in. We've got some MREs and propane. That is awesome. And water. Water is desperately needed. Thank you. Well, we didn't make it for the milk. Our Wednesday, October 2nd. More empty aisles.
Back to the mountains, where remarkable stories of survival are now being shared days after Helene wreaked havoc in North Carolina. But one Pageland man's efforts to help are now the source of controversy. He flew his own chopper on his own dime to help stranded victims. But that man says he abandoned his rescue missions after a fire official threatened to have him thrown in jail. Well, that man now wants answers and turned to Queen City News Chief Investigator Jody Barr to help figure out what went wrong here.
This is the original post that I was reading when I decided to go up and help. It's a long post, but she's saying that her kids and family and animals are trapped. No way out, no supplies, and the only way in or out is accessible by helicopter. Limited cell service and no water since Friday morning. I thought I have a helicopter and maybe I can help.
Jordan Sidham piled food and water into his helicopter Saturday and headed up toward Banner Elk. The only way through, a mountain gap in Lake Lure.
This is the mountain valley that you would have to fly to get to Black Mountain, where we were escorting people out. This is a mountain range, and this is a mountain range. The only place to fly through with bad visibility, low cloud coverage, is Lake Lure.
The cries for help from people stranded without food, water, or electricity hit social media soon after the flooding last Friday.
But my parents are stuck there. Their address is Banner Elk. They are in the first condo. If you receive this, please give me a call back. Thank you.
Sidham's phone started lighting up on Saturday with people begging for help.
I mean, I could hear the desperation in her voice. This is multiple phone calls I've received like this, voicemails, text messages, and you could hear people desperate for help.
Sidham and his son rescued four people on Saturday and spent the night in a nearby pilot's lounge, then decided to fly again Sunday morning.
I spoke with my son, which is my co-pilot. I said, hey, do you want to go back out and try to help today? And his response was, there's so many messages, I don't think we can't not go help.
Sidham and his son were headed up to Black Mountain. Flight tracking shows no flight restrictions in place Saturday or Sunday morning when Sidham flew through the Lake Lure Gap. But that was all about to change. The Sidham spotted an older couple waving for help, then landed in what's left of their driveway.
Hey, I want you to let me get in. You step out and go out. Help her in. Put her bag in the back. Get her strapped in. I'm going to take her down. Come back. I'll take him. I'll come back, and then I'll get you, okay?
I originally left my son co-pilot on the side of the mountain. It was kind of unstable, so I didn't want to
put more weight in the helicopter to lift back off. So I left my son with the other victim, and I was just going to take one person down at the time. And you can hear me in the video talking through with the victims and with my son what we're going to do.
3 minutes away, Sidham spotted a group of rescuers just down the river. He landed and found someone in charge.
Told him my background experience, law enforcement, firefighting, pilot. He immediately started helping with coordination. He gave me radio frequencies to coordinate with them on, set up a landing area for me to come back with the other victim. And in the middle of the whole conversation and them blocking the road off, I was greeted by the, at that time I didn't know, but Lake Lure fire chief or assistant chief maybe, and he shut down the whole operation. So at that point, I felt like the conversation wasn't going any further. And again, he asked me to leave, and I said, hey, I have no problem getting out of your area. If that's what you want us to do, we'll leave, no issue. At that point, I asked him, you know, what was the reason I had to leave them there? And he said, again, you're interfering with my operation. I just need you to get out of the area. I said, sir, I don't know where you were trained at, but I know how my training is, and I'm not going to leave personnel behind. I'm going back to get my co-pilot. He said, if you turn around and go back up the mountain, you're going to be arrested. I said, well, sir, I'm going back to get my co-pilot. I don't know what to tell you. And he said, I'm letting you know. And at that point, he waved for two law enforcement officers to come over and told me that again, if I go back up the mountain, I would be arrested.
He flew the 3-minute trip back, picked up his son, and left the woman's husband behind.
Sure, he was flooded with emotions and trying to rescue other people, and I just felt that it was best at the time to leave. So I did follow his instructions, and I had a conversation with the female victim before I left, apologizing and explaining. She was standing there. She heard the whole conversation, and they were both very, very surprised, very upset. The husband, as I was leaving off of the side of the mountain, at that point, separated from his wife, he was upset. I can only imagine.
Sidham and his nearly 1,400 flight hours turned his chopper around and headed back to South Carolina, passing people waving for help along the way.
As I was actually leaving to go back to get my son, the original chief or captain that I spoke to, his crew and himself, they came back over and said, hey, man, we can't tell you to go get the victim. We can't even ask you to go get the victim, but we can tell you if you come back with the victim, we'll have you a designated landing spot, and they won't. We'll make sure they don't come over here.
So there was no flight restriction when you went in?
No flight restriction when I went in. It went in place 20 or 30 minutes after the confrontation with Mr.
You feel like that was coincidental, or do you think that was because of what happened?
I don't think it can be coincidental when there has not been one in place the day before doing rescue operations, the night of, the morning of, that took place after our altercation. I think there would have never been a TFR put in place had we not had that conversation. If I had to do it over again, I would have stopped and I would have rescued as many people until they decided they were going to arrest me.
Well, for now, we've chosen not to name that Lake Lure fire official because communications in and out of that town are still difficult.
You live about an hour outside of Asheville, North Carolina. Everybody on TV is seeing Asheville and the horrifying images. Of just full, the whole community seems like it's underwater, but this has spread far and wide, Hurricane Helene's devastation in Asheville and further out. Can you describe, again, I think you're about an hour outside of Asheville. Can you describe what's going on where you are, what your neighbors are dealing with, the long lines for everything from gas to food? And it seems, despite what we're hearing for the media, FEMA and the federal government might not be doing as thorough of a job as we need.
Absolutely. So I am in Forest City, North Carolina. We're in the foothills of the mountains, about an hour from the center of Asheville. We did sustain a lot of damage, but it was mostly high winds. We do have some flooding, but our town has, you know, it's most of it's remained. The people are doing pretty well. We do have to, like, gas is limited. We have to sit in line for about an hour, and then you may have a $20 or $50 limit on what you can get, which you just burnt sitting there for an hour. And that's if you can find it. You know, like we're, like I said, we're fortunate we have gas. But around us, at every county, oh my goodness, the damage is devastating. Buncombe County, Mitchell County, all around us, McDowell County, Henderson County. The damage is just incredible. I've got, so Chimney Rock, parts of Asheville, parts of Hendersonville, Marshall, Bryson City, Cherokee, and the lower parts of Lake Lure were or are still underwater.
Wow.
There are people that are still stranded. They're not getting help. They're stranded, they're landlocked, they're in floods. And the FEMA, okay, so I did go up into Asheville yesterday. There's one way in and one way out. I actually made it up into Asheville and around into Oteen. And the damage, I mean, houses literally washed down the road, or they're covered, there's mudslides. But Asheville, there's so many dead bodies that you can smell it. The stench is becoming unbearable. Like, you can smell it. There are that many dead people. It's bad. It's very, very, like, I can't describe to you how bad it is.
And when you say FEMA, is it that FEMA can't get into certain areas, or FEMA isn't doing enough?
They're not doing enough. Where I went to, we had family members in Asheville. We got to the house. They said that FEMA was there, asked what they needed. There's two babies in the house. Asked what they needed. They said, we need water and formula. They left, never came back. How long are babies supposed to wait on formula? How long are people supposed to wait on water? How long are they supposed to wait? So they were there. They know what they need. Well, where are they? You know, we saw emergency vehicles riding around. We had to get into Asheville. We drove over live power lines and under fallen trees to get to our family members. The people are helping the people. The people are helping the people. But here's another problem. So they're telling people to donate to FEMA, not to bring supplies in, to donate to FEMA, and FEMA's got it under control. That is not the case. FEMA does not have it under control. Like I said, there are literally people still in floods right now that cannot get out. There are people that, the people that did survive, they are in shock. They are traumatized. They watch their family members. They watch their neighbors die. We need help desperately.
In addition to the horrifying images of the dead bodies and the smell that you described, it sounds like there's also a lot of people still trapped.
Yes, yes, that's a big problem. Okay, so there are people, the Fairview, North Carolina fire chief is turning away private helicopters that are trying to come in and help. Everybody that they're turning help away. The people are trying to help and our help is being turned away. I don't understand what is going on, but it is not okay. We still have people trapped. FEMA does not have it under control, and we need help. So even supplies are in the short. You know, people are going to by the thousands to stores that are open because they're having to travel. They're coming down from Asheville. They're coming in from Hendersonville. They're coming in from other places because they have nothing. They don't have power. Their stores aren't open. So they're coming in from everywhere trying to get their needs. And there's just not enough. There's not enough.
And for you, you went into Asheville.
We had family members there. They literally, so across from, they're just down the road from the VA in Asheville. There was a huge apartment complex from them. The apartment complex was underwater. They literally watched multiple neighbors die. One was hit by a tree. Others were washed away. Literally, the house was floating away with people in it. They are in shock. They are traumatized. We went in to get family members out, and thank God we did. We barely made it to them. It was a miracle, but we did.
Can you kind of talk about, because obviously in the case of these hurricanes, which are coming rapid and much worse in recent years, obviously people in Florida tend to, I don't know about be prepared, but at least have a few days warning. if their area is going to be kind of in the bullseye. Did your area, Asheville, I mean, maybe you thought you'd be affected, but did you think it was going to hit as hard there?
No, not at all. We're nowhere near the beach. We're inland by a few states. So sure, we thought we were going to get some rain, tropical storm, wind. We were prepared for that. We were absolutely not prepared for the devastation that came. No, that kind of warning did not come. And here's another problem that is currently happening. Our dams are in jeopardy. They have not been repaired the way that they need to be. Now all of the debris from the homes, from people, from everything is starting to put pressure on our dams. So there are still areas that are currently in danger of still possibly being flooded because of these dams.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have the issue of water contamination, which tends to happen in these types of situations. At the same time, I mean, it's like this, everything, you know, everything happens in threes. You have Hurricane Helene, then you look at Georgia, this mm-hmm. chemical plant fire, which could be related to the hurricane. This plant fire had another fire during another hurricane a few years ago. So it just seems like right now you turn on the internet, which most of you haven't had power. There's one disaster after the other. It doesn't seem like our government is really equipped to handle it, or they are equipped, but they're prioritizing certain areas over others.
Okay, so I heard a nasty little rumor that Tennessee just deployed 700 National Guard to Kuwait just after we were hit, when we still have people that haven't been found. There's thousands missing. If you go to certain platforms, there is picture after picture after picture of people that are missing and lost, and people looking for their family members. And it is not okay. It is not okay.
Can you kind of talk about, obviously, the most important thing right now is, getting to people who might still be alive and are trapped. But in the coming weeks, months, even years, this is going to be a long-term recovery. I mean, this is going to be a struggle to recover whole communities that have been wiped out.
I mean, I just don't understand where the help is. You say FEMA's taking care of this. Well, they made their presence and then they left. The people are trying to help the people and they're being turned away. So what are we supposed to do? And then they're telling, so Black Mountain is a suburb of Asheville. Black Mountain held a town meeting. The people were officially told, no help is coming. If you can get out, get out. There's one way out, 26 South. The supplies that are coming are going to be for the first responders that are still doing search and rescue. That's what their town told them to do.
It's unbelievable. And by the way, I just looked up what you're referring to. So it does seem that Tennessee deployed some of its guard to Kuwait. Not sure why they did that, but there's been outrage over that. That deployment continued despite what's going on there.
Their own are drowning, and you deployed troops to Kuwait. Like, what is going on? And we all know. We know it's public. We know all the money that was just sent to Ukraine. Are you kidding me? How much money is it going to take to rebuild these mountains? And there's no amount of money that you can put on these people's lives. Like, what is going on? I don't understand. I mean, I'm myself. Right. I'm an Air Force veteran. I'm a veteran. And this is not what I signed up for. I'll tell you that.
Right. And let me read that just so people know. But anger over Tennessee Guard's MENA mission helping Israel amid hurricane havoc. The recent deployment of 700 soldiers from the Tennessee National Guard to the region has sparked outrage in the wake of Hurricane Helene. But, you know, one's a train blowing up cancerous toxic chemicals. You could say that's not a natural disaster like this, but the bottom line is they're both disasters. And it seems the government, you know, checked some boxes and showed up there in the short term, but are sweeping it under the rug. And from what you're telling me, FEMA's pretty inconsistent and unreliable there. Can you kind of talk about, obviously you've spoken with your family and what the hell they've been going through in East Palestine. It just seems like whether it's corporations detonating toxic chemicals or massive storms, you know, not to get into your politics, but it seems this is related to climate change. It just seems like all the disaster after disaster is happening, whether it's corporations causing it, whether it's, you know, the climate crisis, which I think is caused by corporations and our government. People are just, if you're in the wrong city or the wrong town at the wrong place, the wrong place at the wrong time, good luck to you. The government's not coming to save you.
Well, and that's what a lot of the talk around here is they want these mountains. They want this land for the resources. There are many resources here. And that's what the talk is. They want this land because they're not saving the people. So what is it that you want?
So people there actually are suspect and kind of wonder, is this lack of a response that they feel because the government wouldn't mind people dying so that they could take the land?
Wow. Yes, that is true. Yes. Yes. We know the resources here. We know what's here.
Tell people who don't know that area. Are we talking mining, oil?
I mean, there's not a lot of people know there is oil in a surrounding county. Huge lithium deposits in Kings Mountain. There's actually another one just outside of Asheville as well. Two huge lithium deposits.
A lot of lithium in the Middle East too, where we seem to be going quite a bit.
And I mean, just it's hard to describe. I mean, there's just a lot of natural resources here. You know, ginseng. Just you can grow anything. The vegetation. There's more varieties of vegetation in this area of North Carolina than anywhere in the United States. You know, there's a lot of medicinal. Herbs, things of the nature. And we know some of what's in the ground, but we don't know what else here.
And do you think, I don't know how much you've been able to see because you had no power for a while, but when you look at the national media, sure, I mean, they're covering the hurricanes, but not as much as they're covering the presidential election. I turned on the TV and it's nonstop talk about the election and whatever Trump said and the vice presidential debate tonight. You would kind of think they'd be covering not just wall to wall when the storm is happening. Obviously, that gets ratings, but they would stay on it and be investigating the claims you and others are making. FEMA's not doing their job. People are trapped. I mean, I don't really see that 24/7 on the news. I see the election 24/7 on the news.
That doesn't surprise me at all. That doesn't surprise me. I mean, every kind of disaster that you all cover, that seems to be the case, right? Smokescreen over here, but we're not talking about what's really going on. And I do have to take a moment to thank you guys so much for what you do. I mean, I was getting my news firsthand from you guys about my family because there was so much going on. I mean, yeah, they would let us know a little bit, but they couldn't keep us constantly updated. Right. And, you know, we're getting news about everybody through you guys. Thank you so much, very much, for what y'all do.
You know, it's kind of crazy to me. I'm not saying this to pat ourselves on the back, but I can't tell you how many times I cover a story somewhere. Let's just say, I don't know, East Palestine or wherever, and I see in the comments, I live like 10 minutes away from here and I didn't know this was happening. My local media is not even covering it. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy, the kind of desert of information some places. Lastly, just talk about, obviously you live an hour there, but what should people know that isn't being shown on the news, particularly in Asheville? I mean, the way you described it about dead bodies that you could smell, people trapped. What do you want people to know?
There's information out there. There's actually a story on a platform, you know, the Double T platform. I don't know if I could say it or whatever, but there's stories on there. This man was delivering supplies up to Asheville, particularly the Swannanoa area. And he described As the water was receding, there were piles of bodies, including children. The smell was foul. He went home and he checked himself into a mental institution. His story is on the media. It's on platforms. You can find it. That's how bad it is. I just, there's mudslides, there's floods, there's downed power lines, people don't have supplies. FEMA made an appearance and left. The people are rescuing the people. I did see some search and rescue, but I'm not seeing FEMA. And I was in Asheville, I was up in the disaster area. I've been to Asheville. My sister lives in Lake Lure. I've been in contact with people all over.
Gotcha. Well, we'll stay on it. I appreciate you telling me what's going on and from your eyes, because you saw it. And we'll definitely keep in touch with you.
Yeah, and if you guys look, I TikTok, that people are taking a ton of actual footage and showing. And I have a couple of pictures that I can send you, but the damage is incredible.
For those who don't understand what is really happening and why successive U.S. governments have failed their own people in a time of devastation and crisis, I will explain. The stark truth and reality is that the U.S. government is nothing more than a Zionist proxy for the Luciferian Talmudic state of Israel. I revealed in my previous documentary titled Operation Endgame and the Synagogue of Satan's Talmudic Quest for World Dominance that both U.S. political parties are controlled, opposition-funded, and bankrolled by the Antichrist Zionist state. It may astonish some people to hear this, and for those who are not aware of this fact, I can tell you that it's absolutely true. Atheistic, Marxist, Leninist Jews have seized absolute power and full control over the U.S. government and its affairs from as far back as the FDR administration and perhaps even before then. These people have an agenda to create a one-world financial system, an antichrist religion under the authority and control of the devil himself, as well as the enforced mark of the beast. They are going to vastly reduce, and I mean vastly reduce, the number of humans on this earth. I have commented many times in previous videos that this war against humanity is spiritual, and that mankind is in a war that he doesn't even know exists. What we have seen in this video thus far absolutely affirms what I have been showing, that Marxist Jews have been operating within both political parties of the US government in order to destroy it from within, so that the other nations of the world will easily succumb to the Luciferian Communist Great Reset of Nations. This agenda includes various forms of advanced warfare and the use of political propaganda to socially engineer the unsuspecting masses. The use of highly advanced weather modification technology to create superstorms, droughts, forest fires, and environmental disasters is highly effective in the closing stages of the old world order. The cruel lack of empathy and compassion that various U.S. presidents and high-level politicians have expressed toward their own people in times of crisis clearly proves that these people are sociopaths. The quest of Scottish Rite 33rd degree masonry is order out of chaos, but first the chaos, and then when humanity is on its knees will come the new world order of Lucifer. Those at the highest levels within the US and UK governments are Luciferian. Otherwise, they could never, ever reach the highest political positions within their governments if they weren't. And that includes the 33rd degree king of bling, Donald Trump, especially Trump. Rosa Quarey, an American author best known for her book Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, was an activist who extensively exposed the UN's deceptive Agenda 21, 2030. She served as a district branch chief for the California Department of Transportation for 28 years before retiring. During this time, she exposed the impacts of sustainable development on private property rights and individual liberty. She exposed and explained the dark side of sustainable development, which is the UN resolution for governments and NGOs to promote sustainable development, but is actually the linchpin in a plot to subjugate humanity under an eco-totalitarian regime. Rosa Quarey also featured in the documentaries Shadow Ring, as well as Unsustainable, the UN's agenda for world dominion. Her journey from local land use activism to her discovery of UN Agenda 21, a global incremental plan to deindustrialize the world and the destruction of boundaries. Civil liberties will also be restricted under the guise of environmental concerns. American standard of living is being downgraded, there are restrictions on rural property and farmlands, and a plan for economic collapse, austerity and scarcity. Technology is the enabler of UN Agenda 21. In the following video clips, she explains that the agenda for the 21st century is to force US citizens from rural areas into the cities. And this, my friends, is the reason why weather modification technology is being used to create forest fires and adverse weather systems, etc., in order to force rural communities to abandon their homes, and is also the reason for the lack of government help and assistance in redeveloping those areas after such disasters. There's no shortage of money when it comes to supporting and financing the Zionist-engineered war in Ukraine and subsidizing the Antichrist state of Israel. However, when it comes to helping U.S. disaster survivors, the money is not as forthcoming. People need to get a grip on reality and figure out that the U.S. government is not of the people, by the people, but is in fact a foreign entity posing as a legitimate authority. This is in effect absolute treason.
I'm Rosa Corey, and I'm from the United States, California. And my topic, what I speak about, is one of the most vitally important issues of our age, and that is United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. And as I'll be talking about tomorrow, it is the inventory and control plan. Inventory and control of all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all food, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. And this is a plan that was agreed to by 179 nations back in 1992. It's a United Nations plan. It's called the Agenda for the 21st Century. And so many of us around the world think that, sustainable development, it just sounds so great. Isn't it about recycling and creative reuse and creating energy and food resources for everyone? And the answer is no, it really is not. It's about moving populations into city centers, concentrated city centers, and clearing them out of the rural areas. So I found out about it in a very unusual way, actually, because I spent my career as a legal witness, as an expert witness for the California Department of Transportation. I'm an expert in land use and land valuation, and my specialty is in eminent domain valuation. So, of course, I was valuing property for the government so that the government could acquire that property for road projects. And what I found about 10 years ago, or 10 or 13 years ago, was that land actually, it was very difficult to say what it was worth because you couldn't know what people could do with it because they were being restricted from using their property. And as I explored that and found that it wasn't just in the San Francisco Bay Area where I was working, it was in fact all across the nation and the world, I looked behind that and I found United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. We created the Post-Sustainability Institute in order to educate people about the economic, social, political, and environmental impacts of communitarianism on the world. And communitarianism is that concept, that social and political construct that says that the individual's rights should be balanced against the rights of the community. And of course, the community is that amorphous, undefined community that we, you know, when we talk about community, we think we're, of course, part of it and that, you know, it's a positive thing. But really, community is constructed. It's constructed of non-governmental organizations, corporations, and government in order to dictate and regulate what it is that happens around the world. And we, as individuals, have literally no influence on that unless we are in agreement with it. If you dissent against the community, against communitarian law, or against communitarian social tactics, you're rejected and basically made an outcast. And that is something that that we wanted to expose to the world. And the reason that that we created the Post Sustainability Institute was in order to sue. We sued our local government, and right now we're suing up higher up in order to stop regional plans, because regionalization is the stepping stone to globalization, and globalization is the standardization of all systems. So that includes water, law enforcement, education, energy. All systems have to be brought into harmony in order to control them all. Because when systems don't meet, when they're out of balance or not in sync with one another, they can't be controlled centrally. And the goal of Agenda 21 is one world government and total control from a central unit. America, the United States of America, is really under attack right now. We in the United States are, well, the U.S. landmass is about 2.5 times the size of Europe, and has roughly half the population, just over half. That landmass is huge, and about 75% of the population lives in large cities. The goal is to move everyone out of the rural areas and into the large cities, and to destroy representative government, and to move it into to government by unelected boards and commissions. Now, here in the EU, of course, you've already moved to that position, where it's an erasure of jurisdictional boundaries, an erasure of national boundaries, and that is the goal. Because, as the big new Brzezinski said in 1995, you can't just impose globalization pell-mell as a total movement. You have to do it incrementally, and the way to do that is through regionalization. And in Denmark, for instance, in Denmark, well, every nation that signed on to Agenda 21 has its local Agenda 21 plan. And people in the United States are completely unaware of this. If I go out and talk about this, the United States press will attack me and calls me a conspiracy theorist, which is totally ridiculous. It is a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. It's a fact. Here in Europe, it's openly spoken about, local Agenda 21. And, of course, here in Denmark, the Aalborg principles, 1994, and then Aalborg plus 10, 2004, was the European roundtable for local Agenda 21 was held here. And the principles are public-private partnerships, which is fascism. And this is how it's implemented. On the ground is through this joining together between corporations, non-governmental organizations, and governments in order to cut out the actual individual, your voter, and instead to take that to a level where we literally cannot penetrate. And this is the goal. So this is already far progressed in Europe. The three pillars of United Nations Agenda 21 are economy, ecology, and equity, the three E's, the social equity. And everyone sort of thinks that they know what that means, the idea of social equity. It must mean that, well, everyone's going to have access to clean water and clean air, and no one's property is going to be used as a dumping ground because they are at a poverty level. But really what social equity is about impoverishing huge portions of the population and bringing down the developed nations. And while this sounds like, you know, it sounds almost like in the United States you'd call that a right-wing point of view, a conservative right-wing point of view. I personally am a liberal. The idea that that's something this this drastic, this radical, would be happening worldwide without people knowing it. All you have to do is look at austerity measures, restrictions on transfers of wealth, additional restrictions on land use, ability, to produce, to use your energy, your water, your industry. All of this is happening in developed nations. So when you have your infrastructure attacked like that, it's going to have a tremendous impact on your ability to prosper, as well as the idea that that everything that we're looking at now is destined to collapse our economies. Because the idea, this is a corporatocracy. It's a totalitarian state being developed right now all over the world. And what major corporations want in this fascist development is to be able to have full movement of workers without borders or boundaries, to be able to move their goods through without regulations, and to reduce wages. And so this is the goal. So this is what you find with social equity. That's code for social equity for this movement and reduction of the population. So, and of course, economy and ecology is about bringing into balance economy. These are the three circles: economy, ecology, and social equity. And where they meet in the center is balance. But really that balance is a communitarian balance. So it's not balance of well-being of the people. What it is it's a balance for corporations so that they can exploit and control and have populations in an area in tightly packed, dense areas so that they can be surveilled and managed. And this is what that balance looks like as far as the development of a totalitarian state is. All of us across the world understand that our individuality is at stake here. Our most important private property is our body. And, of course, surveillance is a vital part. Surveillance, domestic surveillance and control is a vital part of this plan. It is a totalitarian plan. But, just like any other extreme plan, we are, while we are moving towards the end game, we are not there. And this is the opportunity that all of us have now to stand up, to speak out, to refuse to collaborate, to refuse to cooperate, to expose collaborators, to work together to defund these plans, to refuse to demand what it is the corporations want to give us. And so because no one's holding a gun to our heads right now, we have that opportunity. If that moment changes, you certainly won't protest then. So now is the time. And people all over the world are doing this. It's just that the mainstream media is owned by five major corporations, and you're not going to get this information from the mainstream press. So you need to be your own press. You need to educate yourself. You need to get out there and educate your neighbors, your community, your real community. You need to help your children understand that they're being indoctrinated from pre-kindergarten to postgraduate school. All of us have a responsibility to ourselves and to others. This is true community, to work for personal freedom. And always remember that even though we work as a group, if we do work as a group, we're all individuals in those groups. And we answer only to ourselves. And this is essential. It's essential as free human beings. This is what we are. We are free, and we need to continue to be free. Right now in the United States, we are moving into major, massive regionalization. The United States has 50 states, and it's divided into cities, counties, and states, and then the federal government. Instead, Agenda 21 is top-down. It's global, regional, neighborhood, and none of those positions is elected. So in the United States right now, we're, the development of regionalization is happening very quickly. It's happening with federal funding. There are hundreds of millions of dollars going to local governments in order to have them create regional plans. And what those do is this plan cannot be accomplished without control of land and land use, because, of course, where you live often dictates the kind of life you're going to have. So regionalization takes away our opportunity to have an impact. It takes away representative government. So what we are doing at the Post Sustainability Institute right now is we are suing to stop the biggest regional plan in the United States, and it is a blueprint for the rest of the country. What this plan is doing is essentially saying that no new development will happen anywhere but in 4% of the San Francisco Bay Area, that all 101 cities and 9 counties will be joined together, and all land use decisions will be made basically by an unelected board. What this will do to land use and land value in the San Francisco Bay Area, to movements of people, to development of business, to freedom, is unfathomable, and people are not aware of it. The only thing that is standing between that and full passage is our lawsuit. Now, what this truly means is if you tell people that they have to build only smart growth, high density development in an urban center right on a train line, or the train doesn't have to be there, it's the proposed idea of a train line, and then no development, no buildings, no residential, no commercial can happen outside of that very, very concentrated area, then what do you have? You have a concentration camp of the future. This is exactly what it looks like. And you see, it's very much more subtle and much more sophisticated than it was when the Nazis were doing it. You are not going to get thrown on a train car. You will just have your roads out in the rural areas pulverized and turned to gravel. You'll have your family well monitored. You will have your energy restricted. You will have your school service cut, your sheriff's service cut. You will find that you are not able to get your goods to market, and then you have to move into the city, and then you will move into this high density development that is subsidized with our property tax dollars, and pretty soon you will have the Wildlands Project, which is predicated on moving people out of the rural areas. And this is how it happens. So, you know, people say, well, hey, nobody's getting me off my land. Well, it's very easy. You know, no one's going to come to your door with a gun, but they will move you off your land, and you will be in the cities. And those cities will be full capability of surveillance, monitoring, and control. These buildings, these high-density buildings, are being built with a concept of eyes on the street. You become basically a deputized police adjunct. Your job is to watch the street. Your job is to watch your neighbor. The war on terror is a war on you. And we all know this. We feel it. This is why we need to stop it. So this is our plan, is to use the courts at this point and stop this plan. And we're working on it.
just get on to Mr. Yes, Fletcher. Sir. Another question on the in an interview with the Los Angeles Times on April 21st, you said that you told the Associated Press that the American government has created weather tampering techniques so that the New World Order will be able to starve millions of Americans and to control the rest. Would you explain what you were trying to say?
Well, what I was trying to say is exactly what I said. There is weather control techniques. We have a complete package on that, which I did not bring, but I certainly will see to it that it is brought in for the record. Number one, the entire patents on the equipment. Number two, Senator Claiborne Pell's complete statement and story of his own that not only does it exist, but that we even utilize it as far back as the Vietnam War. You might want to touch base with Senator Pell.
I just want to repeat
before I turn to that, we do have all that information.
You're saying the government has created weather tampering techniques so that the, quote, New World Order will be able to starve millions of Americans.
Worldwide.
Millions of Americans. And to control the rest.
Yes, sir. As bizarre as that sounds, when if somebody had told me that that equipment even existed 10 years ago, I would have thought they were nuts, sir. And at this point in time, we have all the documents to prove it. And if you think that 85 tornadoes takes place in the middle of our growing area by simultaneous accident, I'm sorry, with the equipment that's already set up internationally, and as bizarre as that is, it is proven and documented. We will supply you with those documents. As bizarre as that is, I would say that weather wars, and this is quoting actually Senator Claiborne Pell himself, that they are the greatest weapon ever created in the world, and that's the Senator's own statement. So, yes, I do stand on that.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Senator Cole. Senator Feinstein.
The frightening reality is that the world is on the verge of a socioeconomic meltdown, and the U.S. is under attack from a foreign entity operating within its own government. It surely cannot be disputed that the U.S. government has been overthrown right under the noses of the general population, and its Zionist-controlled proxy presidents are treasonous imposters who have been operating behind a cloak of political deception, pretending to be elected representatives, while in reality they are part of a Talmudic socialist agenda whose aim is the total destruction of America and the cultural genocide of the entire Western world. That's who these socialist Talmudic infiltrators really are. And it's absolutely mind-blowing to think that hundreds of millions of deceived Americans are blissfully unaware of this terrifying fact. However, a bitter reality check is coming to not just America, but the entire world in the not-too-distant future. This is biblical. We have reached the prophetic time frame that Jesus defined as the beginning of sorrows, as recorded in Mark 13, 7-20, Matthew 24, 3-22, and according to Bible prophecy, it's not going to end well for the majority of people on this earth, most of which have absolutely no idea of what is coming down the pipeline. As this video draws to an end, I urge anyone that's not saved to consider joining us. The frightening reality is that the majority of people living on this earth are not going to make it through the coming persecution. There are millions of deceived and misinformed professing Christians who wrongly believe that they will be taken out of this world before this great biblical affliction of God's people takes place. However, this is a monumental deception. Do not be deceived by others who have been lured into this snare. If you do decide to become a Christian, keep away from the mega churches, study the Bible, the older the better, and do not believe anything that any preacher or pastor tells you without confirming if what he says is contained within the scriptures. For there are many false preachers and deceived Christians out there. Ask God to bless you with wisdom, knowledge, truth, and understanding through the Holy Spirit, and be prepared for what is coming upon God's people as prophesied in the scriptures. And may God bless you and direct your path unto the return of Jesus Christ, the mighty King of Kings. He's coming sooner than many people realize.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. 1 John 5:10. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3:1. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Ephesians 5:6. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:9.
It's now time to draw close to God, my friends, for the time of persecution is at the proverbial door.